we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. The Word is suiting me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen and amen and amen. Truly, this teaching will burst your faith to the flood tide. Hallelujah. And just for the records, are you aware that the Word of God is the source of faith? Amen. The Word preached is the source of faith. And let me explain that a little bit. You know, sometimes we can use the Word generically. And when we say the Word of God is the source of faith, some people may think, well, the Bible is the source of faith. That is not exactly what we're saying. We may use the Word of God generically, but you see, what produces faith really is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? What produces faith really is the report. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So it's not really saying anything from the Bible that produces faith. Do you understand that? Faith does not really come by just saying anything from the Bible. The person has to make sense from the Bible for faith to be produced. And that making sense is being able to see the scripture. Sorry, being able to see the gospel in the Bible. Being able to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The report that is in the Bible. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 10, very clearly, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But verse 16 explains what the word of God is. Verse 16 says, you see, for they have not all believed the gospel. As Isaiah prophesied, who has believed our report? Are you seeing this? This is verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. What is the gospel? He says, Isaiah prophesied it. He says, who has believed our report? What is he saying? What Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53, that he calls the report, which was a declaration, a prophetic revelation of what Jesus came to do. He calls it the report, and Paul is calling it the gospel. Are you with me? So what produces faith in context here is the preaching of what Jesus did. Did you get that? There are many things you can get from the Bible, but it may not produce faith. You may get a principle of non-violent protest from the Bible. Jesus said, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other one. And take it into protest, into fighting for social justice. That's nice, but it does not produce the faith of God. Are you with me? You may get E equals to MC squared from the Bible, but it does not produce the faith of God. You may get Jethro's management principles from the Bible. You know, in fact, it is said that what is taught in business schools as the fundamentals of organizational management was what Jethro told Moses. Is there? Hallelujah. Remember in Exodus when he says, Moses, you will kill yourself. Come, I'll teach you what you shall do. Be thou for the people to Godward. Okay. And then appoint people, leaders of 1,000, leaders of 100, leaders of 50. And all that, and any matter that is too difficult for them, they bring to you. That's the basis of what they teach us, organizational management, in top schools around the world today. So you may see that from the Bible. Oh, is this church with me? You may see that from the Bible, but it will not produce the faith of God until Christ is revealed, until the gospel is revealed, until the report is seen. That is what produces faith. That's what he's saying. He says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this word. And this word is the gospel. The report that Isaiah talked about. The gospel preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you see, the things we are sharing Is this gospel preached? Hallelujah. Is this gospel preached? Are you with me? It is the gospel preached. Glory to God. Mendo bredos kappa. You know, Romans 4 says, what is this that Abraham, our father, has found? Has pertaining to the flesh. This was what Abraham found. Amen. This was what David saw. In Genesis 15, we're going to go there later today. The Bible says, and the Lord told Abraham, he said, come out of your tent. When he began to argue with God, you are telling me nice things, but you have not given me a seed. And this Eliezer of Damascus is going to be the heir of my house. And God said, oh, Abraham, A-B-A-B, you have still not seen this thing I've been showing you. Come out of your tent and look toward heaven. Look at the stars. If you can tell the stars, he says, so shall your seed, singular, be. So shall your seed be. He used the star to preach the gospel to him. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed. He used the star to preach Christ to him. Are you with me? And Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Glory to God forevermore. And that was the beginning of righteousness by faith. Are you with me? Glory to God. That was what he found. He saw Christ. He saw him crucified. He saw him as the perfect lamb. Oh, glory to God forevermore. He saw that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he believed. That was what produced faith in the heart of Abraham. He wasn't just counting the stars. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I can't count it. There are so many. No. It was the stories of the star. Remember, Abraham was from all of the Chaldees. That was the land of astrologers. Are you with me? I've taught it here before. That was the home of astrologers. And don't forget that God enters into people's context to speak to them. Remember Hebrews 1? He says, God in time past in diverse manner spoke to our fathers, but in these last days has spoken to us through his son. He no longer speaks through stars. Glory to God. Because there's a full manifestation of what he was trying to say. Oh, are you with me? Oh, glory to God forevermore. He doesn't use those symbols anymore. But my point is, he used those things to speak to them. To paint the picture of Christ to them. To paint the picture of the gospel to them. That was what they saw. He saw the... can I enter into this? Are you with me? He saw the signs. He read it. He saw the lamb slain. He saw the victory of his seed. He saw Satan defeated. And he believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. The same thing that David saw. Hallelujah. The Bible says David described the blessedness of a man unto whom God will not impute iniquity. When he declared in Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2. He said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose iniquities God will not... to whom God will not impute sin, right? And said, blessed are those whose iniquities are covered. Hallelujah. That was what he saw. The forgiveness of sin. What do you think is the forgiveness of sin? The gospel. The crux of the gospel is the forgiveness of sin. You don't believe me? Luke 1, 76, 77. Put it up for me. I am building gradually. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In this series, I will hold nothing back from you. You'll be ready to receive. Hi. Amen. 76. 76, 77. Hallelujah. I'm trying to explain what David saw. What David saw. What he saw. Look at 76, 77. Luke has 76, 77 now. He's not in your Bible. Luke 1, 76, 77. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, this is the word. They are finally there. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah and he began to prophesy. After John the Baptist was born. After John was born. John the Baptist. Baptist is not his surname. Amen. He was the son of Zechariah. In those days, they called people and attached their offices in front. You didn't notice that? You hear John the Baptist. That means he was a man who baptized as a means of prophetic and priestly cleansing. Amen. We hear Jesus the Christ. okay, or Jesus Christ is not the son. Christ is not the surname of Jesus. It's a description of his office. Glory to God. It's a description of his assignment. The description of his personality, of his office. Hallelujah. Okay, so look at this. And then he began to prophesy. If you have never read this portion of scripture, when you go home, read it. You will read it, and there's something about a word spoken by the Spirit. No wonder the Bible says Zacharias was filled, full of the Spirit, and he began to prophesy. He spoke these words under the anointing. You will see the excellence of the word. You will see the beauty of the communication. You will see the glory of the communication, and you see the power behind the communication. Hallelujah. He says, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Glory to God. To give knowledge of salvation to his people, that is the forgiveness of their sins. Hallelujah. That is what it actually reads. If you read other translation, you see clearly. He's saying the knowledge of salvation, okay, the foundation. Let me put it this way. You don't really understand salvation if you don't understand the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's saying. Do you understand? If you don't understand the forgiveness of sins, you don't understand salvation. That's what he's saying. To give the people the knowledge of salvation that comes through the forgiveness of sin. You can go and check it out for yourself. Are we together? Sometimes when we preach about the remission of sin, and this is not just pardon. Aphesis means to separate the sinner from his sin. Hallelujah. He means to separate the sinner, to distance the sinner from his sin. That is what he's talking about. Hallelujah. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And listen, never allow anyone to trivialize this cornerstone of this gospel. Never. Never. Christianity is not spiritism. No. Christianity is the revelation of Christ. All he did and the consequence of what he did. Are you with me? That is the gospel. Glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. Let me still go in this light. That is the gospel. You know, this has become so important in this generation, where all kinds of things are floating, all kinds of things are flying. Okay, data is cheap. Anybody can go online and see what he wants. But I'm an advocate of searching the word for yourself, but beyond that, listening to those who have lived before you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, these things we teach, that people trivialize it. Somebody say, Jesus died, yes, he was raised. Yes, he died, he was buried, he was raised. Yes, we are new creation, and so what? Okay, and That's not a so what, oh. Never, listen, never give your ears to such people. And so what? Listen, this thing must be treated as a big deal. The understanding of what Jesus did, of our salvation, must be treated as a big deal. He must be treated as a big deal. The revelation of what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection must be treated as a big deal. It is a big deal. This is the cornerstone of our faith. This is the foundation of our lives on the earth. He must be treated as a big deal. You know, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, when he was responding to the confusion or the argument about the resurrection of the dead, gave us the gospel that he preached. I don't know if you ever saw it. He just ran the commentary of the core of the gospel that he preached. Are you with me? He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. That means it is this gospel that gives you a standing. This is the journey we're just starting. It is the gospel that gives you a standing, your standing. He said, the gospel I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand. What is that gospel? Verse 2. By which also you were saved. Are you seeing this? If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, that's remembering what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, we're reading way down. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received. Oh God Almighty. That means Paul did not invent what he preached. He received it. Are you with me? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is the beginning. He began to explain the gospel that he preached. He said, look, it began with the death of our Lord Jesus. He said, how that he was buried. Go back to verse 3. Hallelujah. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There are two things I want you to notice there. The first thing is that the beginning of this gospel is the death of Jesus. Remember in Romans 4, it says he was offered up for offenses. Then he was raised for our dikaiosis, raised for our justification. Paul is explaining the gospel that he preached. That means as a believer, you must understand what he preached, Paul preached. And then he tells us that, look, I did not invent what I preach. I received it. And then he gave us where he received it from. The scriptures. The apostles did not say anything outside of scriptures. The epistles are the explanation of the scriptures. That means they are saying the law, the prophet, the psalms gave testimony to the things we are saying. He says, according to the scriptures. He said nothing. That means the song of the scriptures, the song, the central theme of the law and the prophet was this gospel. So Paul says, I preach this gospel to you, beginning at the fact that Christ died for our sins. But it's according to the scriptures. It's according to the scriptures. It's according to the scriptures. So these things were in the scriptures. It's just that the people could not see without being illuminated by the Spirit. Are you with me? When Jesus on the way to Emmaus met the two disciples, what did he do? The Bible says, beginning at the law, at Moses and the prophet, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. He took them into the scriptures. Don't believe fables. You should know the gospel when you hear it. Are you with me? He expounded to them the things concerning himself according to the scriptures. I mean, Jesus was standing there with them fully with the imprints of the nails. Yet he took them to the scriptures. He didn't come and say, look, I am he. Can't you see the nails? He took them to the scriptures. The 40 days he spent with them on the earth. Remember the Bible said he blew on them and opened the understanding. What do you think he opened the understanding to do? To be able to see him in scriptures. He spent 40 days and through infallible proofs. What do you think he got the proofs from? It's not miracles or the scriptures. He proved to them from scriptures that he was the Christ. So after that 40 days, you saw the way Peter preached in Acts 2. He began to break Bible. Oh, now he could connect the dots. You saw the way Stephen preached in Acts 7. I mean, he stood up. They were with Jesus. Those 40 days, when he opened the understanding and showed them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Are you here? The Bible says the revelation of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That means he was the prophecy on their lips. Hallelujah. Go back to the scripture we're reading. 1 Corinthians 15. We're in verse 3 now. Are you still with me? He said, and that he was buried. Go to verse 4 now. And that he was buried and that he rose again, descending again according to the scriptures. That means his burial, his resurrection was. Paul did not, they did not invent it. When their eyes were opened, they began to see it. Next verse. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Let's just read to verse 7. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day, but some are falling asleep. Okay, verse 7. After that, you were seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all of me, who am less, okay, than all the other apostles, okay? And at last of all, in context, so he's not saying after him, nobody can see Jesus anymore. All right. Last of all, in context, he was seen of me also, and of as of one born out of due season. Are you with me? Are you blessed already? Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. So this is Paul explaining the core of the gospel he preached. How the God saved, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and was raised from the dead according to the scripture. He said this gospel brought you salvation in which you stand. Hallelujah. So this is not trivial stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So we have started talking, you know, our confidence is the covenant. Now, what do you think the covenant is? Let's start with our text, Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, 12 to 19. Hebrews 6, 12 to 19. We'll read Hebrews 10, 35. Amen. All right. Our confidence, my confidence is in the covenant. Now, the word covenant, how do I put this? The word covenant has a deeper meaning than what any English dictionary can give to you. Have it together. It has a deeper meaning. I'm sure if you check out any English dictionary, you say covenant is an agreement between two people. Okay? And some very, very surface stuff. Listen, God has his definitions of terms. Okay? And humans, based on human experience, can define things. But you have to learn to get into the word to understand what God says. Are we together? If you check the word love in a dictionary, you can't get the spiritual meaning from there. You can't get the deeper meaning from there. Praise God. When you read the Bible, it says God is love. Did you see it in your Oxford dictionary? There's a love equals God. Is it there in your Oxford dictionary? It cannot be found there. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. So let me just give you a synopsis of what we mean by covenant. Okay, before we start reading the scriptures and make progress. Okay, covenant in biblical term means a compact between two people, between men and men, or between God and man. Okay, and usually the one we're talking about is blood covenant. I need to follow me closely. And that happens when there's an argument about the guarantee of a promise that is made. Are you with me? When someone makes a promise and the other party wants a guarantee, he asks for a covenant. Or the party who makes the promise can willingly, willingly suggest that they go into a covenant. Are you with me? Okay, so it's far beyond just having verbal agreement. It's something that has to do with blood. It's something usually that is done invoking higher powers. Have it together. Most times it's done in the midst of animals cut into two. So it's not something that was new that just happened for the first time in Genesis 15. What happened in Genesis 15 was God coming into a man's context. Have it together. Into a man's cultural context to help him believe what he's saying. Amen. Now, this is what covenant, when we talk about covenant, this is what we are talking about. Blood covenant. And I gave here and there that historical background so you can have the import of our discussion. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. The second thing I want you to pay attention to as we go further in talking about confidence in the covenant is this. That for us, the covenant, you shouldn't see covenant. When we mention covenant, don't interpret it as, oh, I'm in a covenant with God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the totality of what Jesus did in his coming, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. What Peter calls the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. That is what we call the covenant. Now, I'm going to read scriptures to support the things I'm saying. Are you with me? Have you gotten that clearly? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 6, rather. Hebrews 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 6. It says that ye be not slothful in business, but followers of them who through faith. Sorry, that you be not slothful. The way the mind works. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13 now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Libru pakiseli kapaya. Hendulabaka. Okay. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Saying, surely in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth that which is within the veil. Hallelujah. Aye, glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Let me read from a newer translation. You can guess the one I'm reading from. Who can guess? Oh, you already know. All right, let me read from the Passion Translation. I'll read from verse 13, the Passion Translation. It says, now, when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no other greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over, to give you a son, multiply you without measure. So Abraham waited patiently in faith and succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. It is very common for people to swear an oath by something greater than themselves. Okay? For the oath will confirm their statements and end all disputes. Are you still here? So in the same way, God wanted to end all doubts and confirm it even more forcefully to those who would inherit his promises, talking about us. His purpose was unchangeable. So God added his vow to his promise. So it is impossible for God to lie. For we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. Oh, hallelujah. This is where we find his strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what he has already established ahead of time. An unshakable hope. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. So you are beginning to understand the concept of covenant from this place in many ways. Now, let me emphasize what I said earlier. That when we mention covenant, don't think of us being in agreement with God. In an agreement with God. Someone say, oh, I'm in covenant with God. If God has kept his part, Lord, help me to keep my path. There's nothing like that. That's not what we're talking about. Are you with me? That's not what we're talking about. We are not in a covenant with God. Rather, we are the result of this Abrahamic covenant. God told Abraham, in your seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. We are that seed that he promised. Are you with me? That is the first thing you must get right as we get into the teaching. We are not in a covenant with God. We are the result of the covenant. We are the product of the covenant. We are the beneficiaries of the covenant. Very quickly, Acts 3:25. Remember, it says, for we are children of the prophet and of the covenant, which God, but put it up, I want to show you something there. He said, ye are the children of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham. Are you seeing this? Then he explains the covenant. Okay, it's not about us having an agreement with God. It is more about God reaching out to establish what he has promised. Watch this. So our father saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? So he brings the seed. So the covenant has to do with the seed. And he says, we are the children of the covenant. We are the product of that covenant. Better put, we are the beneficiaries of that covenant. So when we say confidence in the covenant, don't say I'm in a covenant with God. See yourself as a beneficiary of God's blood sworn oath. Are you getting that? You are the beneficiary of God's oath of promise. That's what we're saying. We are the children of the covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, so that's the first thing. Back to the text that we read. On Tuesday, we stayed on the text and explained in the introductory part of the teaching. But I will just highlight a few things from the text, right? The first thing is this. That God preached the gospel to Abraham. Okay? God gave him a promise. And then Abraham began to look for a guarantee of the promise that God made to him. Back to Genesis 15. You can put it up now. We'll start from verse 4. And we're going to read a lot of scriptures today. First service, second service. We'll read a lot of scriptures. Make sure to read with us. Amen. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. You remember the background? He complained. The Lord, you are seeing me, I'm going childless. And you are telling me nice things. God, you are busy scoping me. I know, get child. Amen. You are telling me sweet things. He said, Abraham, fear not. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. He said, God, calm down. I've been hearing nice things from you. In Nigerian parlance, I beg, give me pikin. Amen. Are you with me? You've been telling me nice things. But you have left me without a seed. And then God responded by his word, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be your heir. Beautiful. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Oh, for me, this is prayer. Look now toward heaven. When your mind is covered with all kinds of doubt and uncertainties, look toward heaven. Come out of your tent and look toward heaven. Chances are your focus is wrong. Yes, Abraham was complaining, his focus was wrong. He said, come out, look towards heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. He said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Okay, the Hebrew word means to recount, like you tell a story. That's what he's saying. If you are able to tell the story of the stars. Amen. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed, singular, be. Galatians 3 confirms it, that the promise was made to seed, not to seeds, as of many. Have it together. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of all the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Next verse. And he said, Lord God Adonai, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, this is not just a confession of doubt. Abraham was looking for an assurance. And I need us to examine this. It will help our faith. Are you with me? Abraham was looking for an assurance. He's saying, Lord, if you can come to my context, I won't mind. If you can intrude into my culture and confirm these promises you are giving to me, I won't mind. What is the surety that the things you are telling me are going to come to pass? I believe that you are Adonai. I believe that you are El Shaddai. You are the all-breasted one. But I want a confirmation. Not just a confirmation, I want a guarantee. Amen. I want a guarantee. Don't forget that Abraham was not born again. He lived many, 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 many years ago before Jesus came. But God chose him as a man from whom the seed will come, from whom the redemption of the nation will come, of the nations will come. He said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And God did not say, Abraham, are you doubting me? No. It's amazing how far God can go for our sake. It's amazing. Again, you see, when we read the Bible, like I said, one of the things you must see, the main thing you must see again and again is Christ, which is the expression of the Father, right? And part of that is the love of God. Christ is the Father's love expressed. That means when you read the Bible in the stories, in the illustrations, you can see the Father heart of God. You can see the love of the Father. You can see the softness of God's heart. God is not angry. His preachers are angry. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus did not come to settle the quarrel between man and God. No. You see, there was a great quarrel. And Jesus came. He said, don't fight anymore. Father, have mercy on them. I have come. See my sacrifice. God said, it's because of you, Jesus. It's because of you. You know, there's a way you can teach redemption that will paint the Father in a very bad light. That he was this angry God that nobody could please until Jesus came to calm him down. You are wrong. 1,000 times wrong. Jesus was the expression of the Father's goodwill toward men. All through the Bible, from Genesis, he has been the one running after man. He's been the one. Amen. I mean, God comes down and speaks. Fear not. I'm your exceeding great reward. He said, God, calm down. Okay, you have not given me seed. And God said, no, look up. And he said, okay, now I've believed. God said, now you're righteous. You have not said, oh God, that's the third time. Oh God, how shall I know that I've inherited? And yes, God was not angry. No, do you understand what I just said? Almighty God. He knew he was Adonai. Yet you're just dragging God and dragging him. And just dragging him. So, okay now, go okay now, Lord. So how shall I know that I'm inherited? And he said unto him, oh God. So God, in an attempt to assure Abraham's heart. And as you see this picture, I want your heart to be convinced of God's commitment to you. Are you here? God intruded into Abraham's culture to convince him of his promise. That was what God did. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, okay, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. You notice these were the articles of the sacrifice in the Levitical priesthood. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, they were symbolic of the sacrifice of Christ. All symbolic. Okay, of Christ as the ultimate sacrifice. Let me not get into excessive details. Hallelujah. Next verse. Are you blessed already? Are you learning something? God's heart is soft. He will go through anything to ensure that you get it. Yes. Oh, to ensure that you get it. You know, one of the remarkable revelation of the Father's love I had was my reading of 1 Kings, I think it should be 19 or so, when the prophet of the Lord came to tell Ahab about all of God's anger and judgment because he was worshiping other gods. If you study your Bible very carefully, what angers God the most is the worship of other God. How many of you have noticed it? Amen. Idolatry. And God sent Ahab. He says, Kai, this and this are going to happen because of your wickedness. I mean, you know who Ahab was? He was the husband of Jezebel. Jezebel was so wicked that an entire Antichrist system is ascribed to her name. Amen. That was her husband. But here is my point. God sent a prophet to pronounce a judgment upon Ahab. And then Ahab started crying and had sackcloth. He could have been pretending. And then God met the prophet. He says, have you seen our friend Ahab? He seems to be remorseful. Go and tell him. Go and tell him that this is what happened in the days of his son. When I read it, I couldn't believe it. I said, God, you are this soft. God is the expression of liquid love. Perfect expression of liquid love. Are you with me? He's getting down to a man's level to give him a surety of his word, an assurance of his promise. You can put the scriptures there. We have to read it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Livra mango zistovra pactine kosayada. Thank you, Lord. And he took him all this and divided them in the midst. I told you, you've had history, the old history books, first, third, second, third century books, explain the reality or the practice of this dividing an animal into two and two parties of the covenant, walking in between it. Are you with me? He divided them in the midst and laid each piece against another, but the birds divided he not. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Amen. And lo, and horror of darkness, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. He fell asleep. And he said unto Abraham, now of a surety, now know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And he went through all that and all that. Verse 13. 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. Okay, and they shall come out with a great substance. Verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in good old age. Buried in good old age. Verse 16. But in the fourth generation, okay, they shall come out fitter, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, now remember I told you that when a covenant is being cut, the two parties will walk in the midst of the animals that are cut in pieces. As the blood is flowing, they are walking through it, and what they're actually saying is, look, if I don't keep my side to this commitment, may I be like one of these animals. Amen. May the higher power in the presence of which we are swearing take me, make me like one of these animals. So the two parties will walk through the pieces of the animals, separated on either way. They will walk through. Are you with me? The two parties have to walk through so that each can be convinced that, look, if I don't keep my path, let me die. Remember in Hebrews, I read for you, the Bible says, when God could not swear by any greater, because there's no one greater than Adonai. Are you with me? He said, men verily swear by the greater. And then an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means when they swear by a greater power, they are at peace. There's a guarantee. And God is coming to Abraham's context, remember, and say, well, I don't have any greater person to swear by, but I swear by myself. I swear by myself. If I don't fulfill my word concerning you, may I self-destruct. Brothers and sisters, what we have is tight. God can never abandon you on the way. It's impossible. It's impossible. No, it's impossible. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do to me. He has said. That means every word he has spoken is blood sworn. He can't leave you. Don't let Satan lie to you. That's not where I'm going to. So God says, I swear by myself. If I don't keep my covenant, let me self-destruct. But look at this amazing stuff. He put Abraham to sleep. He's supposed to enter into covenant with Abraham. That means I'm going to fulfill my path. You are going to fulfill your path. But we look closely. When it was time to pass through the pieces, Abraham was not there. Oh God, I wish you got this. I wish you got this. When it was time to pass through the pieces of the animals divided with the blood flowing, which was a practice of cutting covenant, Abraham was not there. He says, and when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, that is God the Father, and a burning lamb, that is a symbol of the sun, passed between the two pieces. Actually, he made a covenant with himself. That means Jesus was here representing man. Oh, you didn't get that. Jesus was here represent. Abraham was not in the equation. He was the father cutting covenant with his son, who is a representation of man, the seed of Abraham. That means even Abraham himself inherited a covenant. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you can throw a party on this verse. You just bake a cake and throw a party. My God, that God went into a covenant with himself on my behalf. I am a beneficiary of that covenant. Are you with me? That means your part is to believe. This is why in the New Testament, the righteousness is not of works. It cannot be of works. No, it cannot be of works. Because you are not in the equation of the covenant. There's no such thing. I'm in the covenant with God. God has kept his part. Lord, let me keep my part. There's no such thing. No. No, no, your life on earth is living out your conviction in the covenant, living out your persuasion in the power of this covenant. Are you with me? You're a beneficiary. Oh, watch, money got it right. This is the summary of the Christian's life, is one word: receive. 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 Even when we give to God in a measure on the earth, is because we have received. Because no man can truly give to God that which he has not received. No, you can't. Hiya, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. And you will tell yourself, you will advise yourself, look, I must be schooled in the understanding of this gospel. That God went into a covenant with himself on my behalf. On my behalf, blood sworn. That means his words cannot fail. No, he cannot fail. He can't. He can't. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Levro paktezigo bodo kososho tokapra. Entola brodi kasoshtepa. He can't fail. No, he cannot fail. He can never fail. Semilakaya. Mako Prebuko Sushuto. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just speak in tongues where you are. Just speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Sivra pakta semakina koposo. Melika Prebuko Sushuto. Enta le propako pososhoto. Em shalika proboko soshoto. Em bradika pososhoto kopra. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Malalogo soshoto. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, the patriarchs were confident in this thing. Oh, they were. They were. Oh, glory to God. They were. They exuded so much confidence. We can see it in the Bible. Standing out is David. The man David. I spoke a little about him on Tuesday. He was 17 years old. So this thing is not about age. It's understanding. God does not follow you. At 17, he stood and defended Israel with his understanding of this covenant. You know, part of the token of this covenant was circumcision. The covenant of circumcision. Which again is a type of what Jesus came to do. Listen, once you understand this, you're good. The entire scripture, what we call the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, amen, was God telling the story of his son and his redemptive plan. It was all a story, including the feasts. You remember now, even the psalmist spoke prophetically. He said, blessed are those that know the joyful sound. They shall walk with God in the light of the countenance. Amplify God into the original to translate what it means. He said, blessed are those who know the spiritual significance of the Jewish feast. That means even the Jewish feast were an expression of that story of redemption that God was telling. They were. So everything is a pointer. A pointer. In Genesis 17, he says, I'll cut a covenant with you. Circumcise every child, every male child on the eighth day. He began with those who were old. Then afterwards, everyone that was born. The covenant of circumcision was a symbol of the new birth. You are aware of that now. Colossians 2:11, he says it. He says, you are circumcised. Not the circumcision made with hands, but Christ himself made the circumcision, which is the cutting away of your sinful nature. NLT, if you read New Living Translation. Glory to God. So David stood and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Define the army of the living God. The armies of the living God. Circumcision. He was confident in that token of the covenant. And yes, he brought victory. He brought victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, I'm going to cut off your head, not having sword in his hand. That means with this covenant, you don't speak based on what you have in your hand. I've been saying this. Then you don't believe the covenant. Literally, that's how we live. You go and price land. They say, how much is land? 50 million. It's 30 million. This is 100 million. And say, so we're going to buy it. And then you are, the devil is telling you, did you hear yourself? You just have 3,000 naira in your account. And he said, we're going to buy it. God gave me a vision of real estate. And we're going to buy it. Yes. Your currency is the covenant. I would to God you will get what I'm saying. You stand in it enough, everything you need will come. It will respond to this confidence in the covenant. Everything will respond. Sooner or later. Now or soon. Or sooner. Hallelujah. Everything will respond. It will. It will. Covenant people speak based on the covenant. They speak based on their confidence in the covenant. Makepata. When we shouted, you can't kill us. We can't die. No. We don't crash. Are you with me? Speak it. We are heirs of the world. When you are saying, I will never be broke another day of my life, your mind is on the covenant. When you say, I will never be sick another day of my life, your mind is on the covenant. When you are saying, my home is blessed, my family is blessed, I'm a model of success to my generation, I'm a model of greatness, I'm a true representation of the Father's intent to this world, your mind is on the covenant, not on your bank account, not on your pedigree. I'm a mountaintop dweller. Levro Zabata. My feet are planted in the deeper waters of God's glory. My mind is on the covenant. All the days of my life, the anointing is upon me. The anointing is within me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, my voice is heard. My impact is felt. Watch out, world! Something is about to hit you. You see, when we speak like that, our minds are on the covenant. The Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything that's coming from us, but our sufficiency. Heya, pela parate. Woo, our sufficiency, our confidence, our ability is of God. Is of God. Is of God. I thought somebody would be speaking in tongues right now. That's how to receive. Our confidence is of God. Woe betide you if your confidence is in your human ability. You are in trouble. The Bible says we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. Philippians 2:3. We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice. We boast in Christ Jesus. We boast. We boast in the covenant. And we have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Lebron de Capetosa. Well, I have first class. I should get a job boasting in the flesh. First class is good. It brings God glory. But you rejoice in Christ Jesus. You rejoice in Christ Jesus. Meaning you boast in Christ Jesus. And you have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Receive understanding. Can I have those serving the communion? Meru Kappa, can you be on your feet, everyone? Let's close the first service. Ila kombre tiskeste pala. Ila kombre de koposo shoto. Alalo samana. Iyalo kabanana. Wonderful. Marvelous. Are the works of your hand. Great is your name.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.